Leading off with the big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now?
Matt Smith in for Zach Bye. Thanks for locking into the fan. Phil is in the building. KJ is. Drew is. Look, we're all just trying to lock in before what is the snow event of the century. Is that what they're calling it now?
Lock in.
Someone on the text line asked what essentials you have to have for, like, getting snowed in at home. I don't think it's a full snow in. Is it a full snow? You might be snowed in, Drew. I don't know what kind of weather app you have, Drew. You might have to look at your weather app, man. You just came in here and told us 45 inches of snow at your house.
Did I say 45?
Yeah, you said 45 inches of snow at your house.
Well, that's the rumor. I won't be there. I'll be, you know, at a hotel.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you know.
Aren't you a married man?
I am. Yeah.
In a hotel, huh?
We're going to call this a snow vacation.
A snowcation.
A snowcation.
A snowcation. Please, if you're going to abbreviate something, do it with a little class.
I know you're right. I'm sorry.
Do it with a little class, if you don't mind, right? Pinky up, at least. Hey, look, I just told you before the break that a former star receiver in the NFL is taking some shots at Sean Payton. I got a feeling that old Phil's going to like this one, Phil. I imagine that this one probably piques your interest. Just a guess.
Oh, yeah.
Just a guess. So, former Falcons wide receiver, and of course, we know the Falcons and the Saints did battle for plenty of years, Roddy White, who is active on social media. He came out and he tweeted out that Sean Payton's time has passed him by. Doesn't matter who he gets in the draft. Drew carried that man, and he hasn't done anything since.
Ooh, fighting words.
I mean, not surprising to hear a former foe like that come out and badmouth him, though, right?
But out of nowhere, kind of, like, you know, today was the day. He was like, you know what? Today's the day where I get a little frisky. I don't like Sean. I'm gonna put it out there.
I guess I don't really take any stock in anything, you know. I mean, look, he went to battle. The Saints and the Falcons, they hate each other. It's oil and water.
But there's a reason why he's putting it out there, which I would wonder, you know, I'm wondering why he put it out there. And is there a little truth to it? I mean, Sean, his biggest success was with Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Sean has never developed a young rookie quarterback. I mean, there's only one time that Sean has played a rookie quarterback, and that was with the COVID going on. And guess what, Matt? I was there during that game. I was on the Miami Dolphins. We were playing Sean and the Saints at the Dome, and he had no choice but to start a rookie quarterback because all of his other quarterbacks got COVID.
All right, let's do this. RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. How do you feel about Sean Payton? Honestly, now that Russ is gone, now that whole thing is over, where's your confidence level in Sean Payton? 1 to 10. That's what I want. 1 to 10. Where's your confidence level? And give me a little explanation if you want. But I'm curious to hear where Broncos country's at, because
we paid him a lot of money too. We gave up a first, a second, and probably gave this man $100 million
and traded for him. And traded for him, Phil.
Yeah.
And not only that, but he came in kind of bull in a china shop, and, you know, but that's what we wanted. Like, we have to, the benefit of hindsight here is looking back and going, oh, wait, they got everything they wanted, Broncos country. You asked for an adult in the room. You asked for someone with vision. You asked for an established culture builder.
But did we really want him, or did we want somebody like DeMeco Ryans? Did we want somebody like Harbaugh?
Okay, but what I'm saying is that
wanted.
Nah, they flew out to Ann Arbor to meet with Jim Harbaugh. He was really wishy-washy. He wasn't committed to leaving Michigan yet. Yeah. He felt like he had unfinished business at his alma mater, which he did. They went out and won the national title. But Penner, as far as I know, got back on the PJ and flew back home, and that was the end of the Harbaugh conversation. Now he's in your own division a year later. Going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But as far as DeMeco Ryans, that was the guy we had heard that they did want, but they knew was a long shot because he's got deep ties to Houston. Been there as a player. His wife's from there. We knew that was going to happen. And then Sean was the prettiest girl left at the bar. So, you know, had to move. But at the same time, think about where they just came from.
Yeah.
Vic was the fourth oldest head coach, your first time head coach ever hired. That was a disaster. Vance, look, it wasn't the right time. Kyle Shanahan was on the board. We all remember what that situation was about. And then the Nathaniel Hackett clown show. And you got three first-time head coaches that did not work. There's no way they were going back to that well unless it was for somebody they loved, like DeMeco Ryans.
Yeah.
He didn't love you back. That happens. Trust me. Trust me, that happens. So, I mean, sometimes that love isn't always reciprocated, Phil.
Well,
I'll tell you about that. Not for you? You haven't had that problem?
I've been pretty good, man.
Hey, you know what? You don't even have to. KJ feels me. Well, KJ's married now, so he doesn't feel me anymore.
No, I'm sorry, man.
It's all right. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay, yeah, guys. Kevin Kisner feels me.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's right. I feel like I'm like myself, Kiz, Simmer, Rich. Like, I mean, it's dwindling here. I mean, the list of everybody getting cuffed up here,
So what does that tell you?
What does that tell me? That you guys are crazy.
Oh, no.
I want to look at the first round case study.
The beautiful thing, being cuffed up, KJ and Drew.
Tell them. I'm trying to tell them, man.
The beautiful thing.
All right, so let's talk about the first round case study. Because Mason Rudolph just went to Tennessee, which kind of leaves the Broncos with, what, Jimmy Garoppolo, who's now officially out in Vegas.
He is out of there.
As is Hunter Renfro. So it probably leaves you with the draft, right? Probably leaves you with the NFL draft. All right, so I went looking. What is it going to cost you to move up? Yeah. That's really my question. What is it going to cost you to move up?
Where are we trying to move up to?
Let's just say six.
Okay.
Just for now. Who's got the sixth pick here? We got the Giants. The Giants. All right. I guess that's maybe a possibility. I doubt it, but it's maybe a possibility. So let's just say you want to move up to six, because you're going to have to move up to get McCarthy. And it's probably up in front of seven, because you've got the Falcons there who might be shopping. We know the Vikings want to get in on that. Who knows if the Raiders still go back to that well after signing Minshew?
I'm hearing the Giants want to move up, too. I think everybody's trying to battle to move up to a spot that's not where they're at right now.
So let's just look at this, okay? So ironically enough, 2021's draft, all right? The Eagles trade the sixth overall pick. All right, so they had six. They trade to 12. And in doing so, the cost to move up, the Dolphins traded from 12 to 6. That's what happened. The cost to move up was, again, their first rounder this year, a fourth rounder that same year, and then another first. So it was basically two ones and a two to move from 12 to 6.
So two ones and a two to move.
Ooh-wee. From 12 to 6. Two ones and two to move to 12 to 6.
That's hefty.
Yeah, it was. And then of course, the Eagles flipped 12 to 10, moved back up, took Devontae Smith. Cowboys took Micah Parsons. And then we all know who was taken at 9 before that, Mr. Patrick Surtain. But to move up from 12 to 10 cost a 1 and a 3. So moving up, you could probably move up to maybe 10, 9.
Because you're at 12 right now.
Yeah.
Right?
You could probably do that. I struggle to see this Broncos team going, you know what, let's toss in next year's first two. I just don't think that happens. So maybe they move up to 10 if somebody falls. Am I wrong there?
I mean, no, you're not wrong. But if you move up to 10, you're giving up a lot of draft capital to just move up two spots.
But it's only a three. I mean, it's not you can make that work with what they have.
Yeah.
My point is they have a limited asset pool.
They do.
So you're probably not going to be able to move up to, you know, one, two, or three.
No, you're not thinking about that. Maybe I'm thinking more of like trying to talk to the Atlanta Falcons, because we all know Atlanta Falcons have their quarterback now.
At seven? Are they seven? Eight. Or they're eight. They're eight.
Yeah,
they're eight.
You know, like that's, if you're going for someone like JJ McCarthy, that's where you're going to have to try to fall into, because he's going to be in the top 10 and probably not number 10. You know, that's the issue, is like you move up and you still don't get the guy that you want. Then what happens? You lose more draft capital. You don't get the guy you want. So you're sitting here just kind of reaching for the sky at this point.
All right, let's get some of these responses, because they're flooding in. I wouldn't normally go right to it right away, but there are so many, and I think these are good. We asked Broncos Country, now that Russell Wilson is gone, now that the Broncos are rebuilding to whatever degree they are, we're not sure, but they're rebuilding. 8.5, he's the adult in the room. I'll take him over Harbaugh any day. He's a proven coach. He just needs to be given the ability to build this team in his image. Now get it done. Okay.
8.5, huh?
8.5. 10. We had a terrible team, haven't made playoffs for 8 years. What he is doing should have been done a while ago. Okay. I like this. We got some reasonable Broncos fans today. I love that. Sean Payton is making a big bed, so he better not, you know what, in it. He better get one Super Bowl. Well, where's your confidence level, Texter? That doesn't help. So Sean Payton confidence 9. He's finally making the moves that the Broncos should have made 7 years ago. He's building a team rather than putting a Band-Aid on a failed product.
I got an issue with that one, because it's not like he wants to do this. Sean Payton is, what is he, 62 years old?
He's
60 years old. He's not one to rebuild. He didn't come here to rebuild. He has to rebuild because of what they've done, what George Payton has done with the roster, with giving Russell Wilson all that money, Randy Gregory all that money, okay? So it's not like, I wish that people would stop saying, like, this is, you know, he's doing something that should have been done. Yeah, this should have been done, but he didn't want to come in here and do it. He didn't think he was going to have to come in here and rebuild a whole entire organization. But he has to. He has no choice. They have no money or draft capital.
In Peyton, we trust, at least this season. How about this one? I think this is interesting. This is such a dumb narrative, writes this texter. Sean never developed a rookie quarterback because he didn't need to. Also, Drew Brees was mediocre until he hooked up with Sean Payton, too. People hated what Russ was doing under Hackett, wanted him benched because of the catchphrase social media. Now that Sean benched him, everyone's on Team Russ because the dude had an okay season numbers-wise. If it wasn't for Russ, this fan base would still love Sean. This stuff is mind-boggling now. I'm with you, texter. I don't...
You think that...
No, I don't know why... I don't know
Drew
why
Drew Brees was mediocre, though?
Well, to be honest, text... No. He actually had a really good year.
He went like 11 and something. Yeah, to the playoffs. That's not mediocre. The year before.
But to Texter's point, he became what he was with the help of Sean Payton. And typically, when you have a good coach, if you can marry that to a good quarterback. Look at Belichick and Brady. We can go down the list of successful coach and quarterbacks. But it's not very often you're going to find that a coach really has success when he loses a Hall of Fame quarterback. I think that's probably a little unfair in and of itself. No?
Well, you're not. But when you're like Sean and you're so confident in yourself and then you don't kind of produce after you have someone like Drew Brees, then you have an issue because that's what it comes down to. Is you did have success with Drew Brees, but it's not like Sean made Drew Brees. He didn't make Drew.
Can I just tell you, Broncos country, you are giving me hope today that we've got some, that sanity will prevail. How about this one? Except for this
next question.
I'm at a three. I've got a family who are Saints fans, and they keep telling me how creative the guy is. I haven't seen it in Denver yet. He seems arrogant. We'll see how the next season goes. Okay. Hey, look, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. That's why I wanted to hear from Broncos country, because there's a segment of the vocal minority that was screaming and yelling about how they did Russ dirty. But if you'll notice, there were a bunch of other dudes down at Dove Valley that just renegotiated their contracts as well. And they just signed them. So,
tell me this, Matt. What are we looking for this year? Like, what is a record? What's a reasonable record with a rookie quarterback? What are we looking for? You know what I mean? What can Sean do?
As bad as you can get. I mean, honestly, you're going to take it. It looks to me like they're going to designate this thing to take the majority of the cap hit this year, which is the smart football decision. We talked about it yesterday.
Yeah.
The best way out is through. Okay, and I gave you my Shawshank, analogy. Sometimes you just got to climb through the sewer pipe and, get to the sunshine on the other side. That's kind of what it's going to be here. All right, how about this one? 5, this person, if only ownership is patient and he finds a lightning in a bottle at quarterback. Okay. Sean is a 10. You can't keep holding against him the fact that he never developed a quarterback. He never had to. He got Drew Brees. That's like saying Mike Shanahan can't develop a quarterback because he had John Elway. Sean will get it done. D. Wilkerson, shout out to you. Okay. Hey, I'm seeing 8.5, 10. I got a solid 1.
Solid 1.
6.5, 8.7,
How many years are we giving this man?
Peyton 4, 5. Peyton's just good enough to be mediocre. Wow. I'm surprised.
How many years, man? Before he needs to turn this around. We got a rookie quarterback. He gets an excuse, right? How many years?
Okay, great point. What is the runway with the patience for Sean Payton here?
And Penner. Like, is Penner going to be patient?
What is the runway for Greg Penner's patience?
Well, no, for any of, like, what should the patience be for someone like Sean Payton that everybody is saying at 8, a 9, a 10? Like, what are we going to give him? How many years?
A full contract? I mean, 5 years?
Okay.
Look, I mean, this team has been mired in the mud, Phil, for the better part of the last 7 years. Haven't made the playoffs in 8. So I actually am getting pretty encouraged here by Broncos country, because it's been really tumultuous, Phil. Mm. I mean, it hasn't been fun for the most part the last decade to watch Broncos games on Sundays. I mean, unless you're enjoying it with your family or you're enjoying being out there or, on TV or however you consume it. That part, I imagine, you can make the best out of, but the actual product has left a lot to be desired, and that's being extremely generous. So it is encouraging to me to see that people aren't, tiki torches. Oh, it didn't work again. Another failed, sale of a plan to us. No, people understand the situation here by and large. I actually really like that.
They understand it, Matt, until we get to that season. And then we have to watch every single game and thing. If things don't go as planned, like, because it's like, what are we looking for, right? Mm-hmm. If it's not wins, all right, in your eyes, what are we looking for that's going to say, okay, what's the hope for that next year that we're going to be better than what we were this year?
Great question. I think the hope there, Phil, is probably that you've begun to put your foundation in place. Because I don't know that the foundation is really in place. Maybe it is. to an extent, just not completely. I would like to end this season, and maybe this isn't a possibility at all, but I'd like to end this season with a trajectory of going, you know what? Like, they found some good, young, cost-controlled players. Yeah, okay, they lost a lot of football games because I'm just assuming they did. But maybe there's some good surprises, a wrinkle, an undrafted guy. You never know. I mean, we're going to have to look deep in the weeds here for positives, maybe, unless they hit in the draft. I think the thing I'm looking for the most this season out of the Denver Broncos is, how does your rookie class do? It's been a while since they've had a star-studded rookie class here, or some guys that have hit. And one of the things that we championed when Sean Payton came in here was, well, look at what he did in the draft in New Orleans. Look at all the draft classes he put together there. I mean, he's got like 5-6 starters out of one or two draft classes. That's a big deal. If they can find a way to do that this year, boy, Phil, that, I think that makes the level of optimism heading into 25 really high.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Matt, but the biggest one's going to be at the quarterback position, because that's all that truly matters at this time is you draft that quarterback. Because
if they draft, they have to, right?
Well, like, we're banking on this because of a quarterback. We're banking on getting this down because we're going to go get a quarterback that we think is a franchise quarterback. So it's going to all, you know, come down to, how does he look this first year? He's going to have some bumps in the road. Okay, but is it optimistic? Are we all optimistic that next year he's going to take that next step and he's going to flourish and we're building around him?
That's what I want to see, really, a good development year. But it is encouraging to me to hear that you guys out there understand where the franchise, and some of you, of course, you know, don't like him and think he did Russ dirty. And I certainly, that's an opinion that has held by a lot of people. I don't hold that opinion. I'm hopeful that he can find a way to get this organization to put one foot in front of the other. So by season's end, we can sit there, we could go, oh no, I can kind of see what he's going for. He's going to need more time than just this year, though, especially with the dead cap and especially with where they're at. Now, the question that you brought up, I don't know, 5 minutes ago, which I think is probably the most important part of this discussion, and you just brought it up, quarterback, okay? What does it look like with a first-round draft pick at quarterback this year? That probably accelerates the process, if anything. Maybe it takes the pressure off because, hey, you need a year to develop.
It gives you more time.
I think so.
It gives you an excuse, right?
I think it does, but people want to make conclusions about a guy pretty quickly. And if you've got a guy like J.J. McCarthy who's drafted, that's a divisive player. You've got people on both sides of the fence there. Some who really love him, think he's the most pro-ready quarterback in the draft, think that he played in a system that you can seamlessly transition over to the NFL. But then there's the other side, and I happen to be on that side of the fence, that thinks that he's going to be a flash in the pan. And both sides could be right.
Yeah.
So I think that would probably accelerate it to the point where, hey, at the end of this year, that guy's going to have to probably play a little bit. At least a little bit.
So coming from you, it sounds like you're more on the board of trading down.
Oh yeah, that's what I told you. Yeah, that's what I've been on record.
Trade down and get assets, as many, you know, draft picks as we can.
I want two starters. It's not as many draft picks as we can.
Just,
I think at 12, if you're going to take a position player, okay, the only one that I think that I would stay there for is Brock Bowers, unless something else happens in the top 10 and somebody drops, maybe a Dallas Turner.
Yeah.
You love that. Maybe Jared Verse. But you're going to have a hard time selling me that you can't find a very good player at like 15 or 16 and then pick up a second or an extra third rounder on top of that.
And you're talking if we don't get a quarterback.
I'm talking about if there's not a quarterback. Is there any other guy outside of Brock Bowers positionally that if they're there at 12, you're like, no. Gotta stay at 12. Gotta land this guy.
I guess if they think of that young man at UCLA that's been kind of hyped up, is a generational kind of player. And I hate to say that because that generational word gets thrown around way too much. But if he's a solid player, I guess you stay at 12. But in my eyes, if you decide to trade down, that means that Sean Payton does not love a quarterback in this draft.
And that's okay.
And it is okay, but then it's like we let everybody else go. So now all we have is Jared Stidham sitting right there.
Well, it might not be the end of the world because you put yourself in probably a solid position for 25.
Well, it's not going to be pretty. It seems like you are trying to kind of jockey for someone like Shador for next year.
I am jockeying for being in a better position with more assets to go up and get a guy like that. Like if you can't move up now because you don't have the the artillery to do so. If you have a bad year this year, unfortunately, this is how tanking works. And you're not trying to.
You can't tank. You can't.
They wouldn't try.
You can't tank.
They wouldn't try. But if you start Jarrett Stidham at quarterback, are you putting your team in the best position to win
games?
Well,
for sure. There's ways to help you out to not win games.
It doesn't mean you're trying to tank. No, it just means Jarrett Stidham's our starter. And, hey, if he could potentially take us to the Super Bowl. Yeah. We're going to try and make it there. But I don't know. I'm looking right now, Phil, and what, 1-4 off the board play in Boulder for 2025. You got a pretty good look at two guys who are really good. I'll just say there's also some other really interesting options. Carson Beck, Georgia, what does he develop into for 25? But, Phil, you're going to have to sacrifice a lot of, and we just talked about it. You want to move from 12 to 6 and get McCarthy? It's costing you next year's first and a third this year. Do you want to do that?
No, I mean, if you do,
that's fine.
I mean, the thing is unless Sean truly believes in his heart of hearts that this quarterback is our franchise quarterback.
Yeah, if you love him.
And honestly, Matt, he's went on the record when he was at the combine and he made that announcement that was kind of like, I'm glad that we know how to pick quarterbacks and another team doesn't. Right. What was those words along that on the line?
He said we can develop and evaluate guys better than most.
For sure. Yeah. So by him saying that, it's telling me that you like somebody in this draft and that you're either going to move up or you're going to stay there, but I don't see you moving down at this time.
What? Moving down for what?
Moving down because there's not a quarterback that he likes.
Oh, I think,
you know?
I think that's a real possibility. I do because you're looking to pick up as many assets as you can, but you're trying to get as many impact players as you can under controlled contracts, younger players who can actually play right away. It's been a while. I mean, Surtain, certainly, but it's been a while since the Broncos have nailed, really nailed the draft class. Mm. What was the last draft class you'd say they've nailed?
Well, maybe with Demaryius Thomas?
It's been a while. Yeah. I feel like it's been a while.
Demaryius Thomas, who else?
It's not easy to do
Vaughn, by the way. When was Vaughn? Vaughn, what year was Vaughn? 2011?
11?
Yeah. Maybe that one?
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
And there were a couple of rough Elway draft classes down the home stretch of his tenure as GM, right? There's a reason why most of those guys aren't on the roster anymore.
Well, none of them are.
Right. Exactly.
None of them are
exactly.
Right now,
so the point here is this, Phil. You've got an opportunity over the next couple of years while you're already straddled. And we talked to Andrew Mason, our senior Broncos writer for DenverSports.com yesterday, about why the Broncos freed up that cap space with renegotiating Zach Allen and Ben Powers. Well, part of it was to absorb more of the cap hit from Russ. So all signs right now are, in fact, pointing to them taking probably the 53-ish of that dead cap hit this year.
The only issue with that, Matt, is Sean did not come here to be a rebuild. Sean did not come here to make it a 4 or 5 year project. I'm sure he got in his head that I can come here and I can make this team into something special like I did with the Saints.
And that was a quick process.
And that was a quick process. And I think that Sean truly believes in his heart that he can do something like he did with the Saints. And that's why he took this job. I don't see him sitting there saying, he's not happy to have a rebuild. He's not happy to be in this situation, which that's why I scratched my head of the reason why you're in this situation is someone like George Payton that still has a job, right?
When the coach was hired last season, Sean Payton was brought in. During that process, we talked about, look, you're going to have a coach that has the ability to be able to wear multiple hats. You've got to be able to at least try and rehab Russ the best you possibly can and make it work with Russell and determine, A, is it going to work? B, could it ever work? And for Sean, he determined pretty quickly that it was never going to work. But in that case, you had to understand the implications of the contract. And Sean got to basically pick Denver, right? He picked where he went because he wasn't coaching for New Orleans still. So where I'm at with it right now is like, hey, if you didn't want to come here to rebuild, you probably weren't paying attention to what really was here. Unless you thought Russ was just going to be the Pro Bowl guy or you thought you were going to get that out of him. But it seemed pretty early on, you know, the stop kissing babies comment that he made
fond of Russ.
No, it didn't seem like that. So if that's the case, then I'm not so sure Sean wasn't anticipating a little bit of a retool here.
I don't know, Matt.
He seems like an impatient guy, though.
I think he's seen the roster. I think he's seen people like Justin Simmons. I think he's seen people like Pat Surtain and was like, okay, there's something that is special here. He made the comments, I won't be surprised if we don't make the playoffs. He would be mad, right? He's not just saying that.
So you know what? Maybe you're right, Phil. Maybe he totally self-inflated what he thought that he could bring to this team, and he really didn't know what was here to work with.
Yeah, and now it's like, man, I'm in a situation where I have to pretty much gut this whole place out because of what George did. It's mm-hmm. George's fault at this point. You know, I don't want to put it all on him, but guess what? He's made some decisions, and he has to lay in the bed that he made. And now he has to gut it out, and he has to take the fall. And now he's going to have this whole year of having to answer to us with a team that he has to rebuild up.
Hey, let's play another hypothetical on the text line. If you had to give up next year's first and a third to move up for the opportunity to draft J.J. McCarthy, would you? 303-713-1043, the RamosLaw.com text line. The Avs with a monster win in Calgary last night. And somebody's maybe starting to prove me a little wrong. That's next. Something you want to tell us, KJ? No?
You got a player you're about to tell us about.
Well, I got a bunch of players I'll tell you about. I just didn't know if you had... All right.
No. I'm good, man. Besides, the sun is not coming out.
Sun will not be coming out. A lot of snow will be coming. Allegedly. Allegedly, we're getting a lot of snow. It would not surprise me, though. You know, Snowmageddon ends up being 6 inches of snow.
It's Colorado.
Exactly. You never know. By the way, speaking of Colorado, you and I, you know what? Let's pencil it in here. Coming up, some Buffs football talk. Finally, Phil Lindsay and Matt Smith get into it. All right? Because we got some things we got to talk about. And if we're being real, they figure to be the most relevant football program in this state.
You're not lying.
At least this year.
You're not lying.
At least this year. All right. So we had asked before the break if you would trade a first and a third to move up to six to get J.J. McCarthy. Two firsts and a third, technically.
Yeah.
Because you'd be moving the 12th overall this year, next year's first round, and a third rounder this year. Would you do that?
No.
Okay.
No, Matt.
We're gonna have these guys, I think, behind the scenes when we get a second tally up the totals because the responses are flying in. There is a good split here. We got to be looking at like 50-50. Although I will say one person I thought made a great point. If you're convinced that McCarthy is your guy, two firsts and a third's pretty cheap for your guy.
I guess when you have to look at it like that, like if you are convinced, as Sean Payton, that this guy is the franchise quarterback, right, that's going to bring us to the promised land in a couple years, then yeah, it's going to be worth it. But I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is that guy. Could be wrong.
I think that's fair. The reports, I think, out of the combine, out of the Shrine Game, Senior Bowl, all the pre-draft scouting events are that Sean has taken an affinity to J.J. McCarthy, and the Broncos weren't at Bo Nix's pro day. Now, does that mean that they aren't necessarily interested in Bo? No, it could easily just mean that they're trying not to tip their hand. That could easily be the possibility because, as we said earlier, only Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, as far as general managers or head coaches, were in attendance there that day. So it's not like there was a big gaggle of the who's who of the NFL to watch Bo Nix throw up in Eugene. Although, I don't know why. Eugene's awesome. You guys never really played all that well there, but Eugene's great.
2016.
I'll never forget.
Eugene is a unique place. It's loud, man. It's very loud.
You know what? It is crazy loud. It is one of the better college football atmospheres I've ever seen.
And people would be like, you're talking about the organ? Like, no, people don't understand. It's that bowl shape, right?
Loud. So what was crazy is when CU went up to play Oregon this year, and a quick side note, it was the first time the crowd did different color shirts for the sections. The very first time ever at what is it, Autzen Stadium?
Autzen Stadium, yep.
It was the very first time. So they had one section was green, one section was yellow. It was the first. They got it almost completely correct. That's how passionate the football fan base is up there. That would never happen if you tried it here. I mean, we'd have black and gold and white and yellow and every smattering.
I don't know. That 2016 year, they had like an all-white, a whiteout, and everybody.
Yeah, we can get one color. But I'm talking about they had color-coordinated sections, and they nailed it. I was like, when I saw that and I heard it was their very first time doing that, I said, okay, I get it now. These people like love football here. I get it. I just think it's interesting. This is another texter. How about this one? You guys are missing one other possibility. What if Sean Payton loves Bo Nix? They trade back and get extra picks and their quarterback. That's what my gut is telling me. That's from Marty.
That could be the case. I mean, you like that, right? right, Matt? You want to trade down, you know, get somebody that, that they possibly love in the second round and get more picks?
I need to go back to my research on this because I did this.
You're like, Zach.
I'm pulling out the notebook
here. You got
here.
The notebook.
So the research I got to pull out is Matt, on quarterbacks. Do you see this? Do you see this? You think I'm not prepared? Do you see all these pages here?
Oh, man.
All right, I'll pull it up in the break. But the point is this. I'm open to that. I love the idea of trading down out of 12, unless maybe a Bowers is on the table. Someone else brought up, well, what if Joe Alt falls to 12? Or what if Malik Nabers falls to 12? Okay, well, we can have a conversation then. Right now, based upon what we're seeing in every mock draft, which we all know, mock drafts are gospel. They're always correct.
Oh, yeah.
Every quarterback is taken 1 through 10, and then the rest of the players go. It's never how that happens. It's always a little bit different. So I guess, yes, there's a universe in which somebody could make a big fall, and the Broncos would love them. But again, I go back to, all right, so if you're not going to draft Brock Bowers, per se, at 12, well, you probably want to move back, because if you're going to take a corner, you can probably get one of the corners at 15 or at 17 or wherever you move back to, in addition to maybe add a third rounder, maybe add a second rounder. Who knows how desperate a team is to move up to 12, but you've got a legitimate shot at multiple starters then, or at least multiple impact players in the future, and you need that on this franchise. So I say that to say, if I were to move down, let's just say into the 20s, I don't think the Broncos are going to do this, by the way. I'd be really surprised. Maybe not really surprised.
Broncos aren't moving down.
I'd be pretty surprised. They're not going to move down that far, I don't think. I don't think they move down that far.
At all.
They may not. Sean gets what he wants.
Yep.
Most of the time. Except for a playoff team here in Denver this year. So if
he had a chance.
Yeah, he did. He certainly did. If you move down to the 20s and you're still thinking about taking a first-round draft pick at quarterback, you've got to be aware of the history there. You have to be. And we spoke about it briefly yesterday, but I'll just refresh. The quarterbacks that teams have traded down within the first round to draft, this is it the last 30 years. EJ Manuel, Rex Grossman, Patrick Ramsey, Kevin Cobb, Cade McNown, end of list. The reason it doesn't typically work out, Phil, is because if you're not super excited about moving up for a guy, or you're not super excited and just hoping he falls to you, probably wasn't your plan, to use your word yesterday. So two texters point about, look, what if you trade back and get Bo Nix? Well, I'd be okay with that as long as it wasn't later in the first round, because that to me just says I'm taking a flyer on the guy.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to take a flyer on somebody, it's probably not at the quarterback position in the late 20s.
You're going to trade down that first round if you're still in the 20s in the first.
Hypothetically, yeah.
You're going to go and get somebody else other than a quarterback, and then go get Bo Nix if that's the guy in the second round.
Or Penix, or whoever
the case may be.
Or Michael Pratt in the third. Well, you don't have a second round pick. That's the real problem. It would be a lot easier.
If you're trading back, you're probably trying to get a second round pick.
But who knows, how far do you have to trade back to actually acquire a second round pick? Because I would think, based upon, and we went and we looked at other trades that were made not in the top five, you really don't see too much value being surrendered. You see like a third and a fourth that year, or like a fourth and a fifth, or maybe even a fourth the next year as well. But you really don't see seconds and thirds. I think it's going to be hard for them to pick up a second round pick unless they package up to go get one.
Yeah.
Which,
and see, that's where I just don't see them trading down for, because I just think they're not going to get enough of what they want if they do trade down in the first. Now, if they trade down, you know, completely, then they'll probably be able to get a second.
You know what I need on the drop board? I need the draft sound, the doo-doo-doom, doo-doo-doom, doom-doom. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, if you can cut that one. I need that for later in the show. You're on the clock.
Yeah.
At 12.
12.
McCarthy's off the board. Nix and Penix are on the board.
Okay.
Okay? Would you take Nix or Penix at 12?
You haven't
surrendered any value.
Yeah, for sure. This is where this comes into play. It's, if I truly love Nix or Penix, then I'm probably going to take them right now, because I'm not going to mess around with my food. I'm not going to play around with my food.
Do you love either one of those guys?
I like Michael Penix Jr. I do. I think that he brings something to the table. He's a smooth passer. Okay, he's a pocket passer. Even though somebody yesterday said that he doesn't throw in the pocket. Like, that's all he did. watching them.
Basically.
I like him better than Michael, than
Bo Nix.
Bo Nix, you know, if that's the case, if that's my options.
You're probably getting fired if you're a GM taking Michael Penix at 12. I'm just letting you know right now, Phil. You might not have a future in a front office.
Why is that?
Well, it just seems like you might be reaching on value there. Let's just see.
Well, that's your opinion, right? What if I hit on it? Then am I going to get fired?
I think this is a great question. So I'm looking at NFL Mock Draft Database right now. He's a projected second-round pick. Overall ranking is 38th, and it has tailed off considerably since the start of the year. So around the national championship game, Penix's stock took a nosedive. There was a report here lately that he was the one that helped out his draft stock the most at the combine, which I would just ask, how much was that? Because NFL Mock Draft Database has Michael Penix consensus 47th to the Giants.
See, but this is the thing. The Giants, at this point, may be looking to move up in the draft, right? So if that's the case, they may not be trying to take Michael Penix Jr. But also, Michael Penix Jr. did help his case because the combine is all about going in there and getting your evaluations done on your body, which everybody's been sitting here, even yourself, saying, oh, his injuries. Well, he went to the draft or the combine to check his injuries out, and everybody has said he's passed with flying colors.
Did we see the medicals? I haven't seen medicals on Michael Penix yet.
Have you seen the medicals of J.J. McCarthy?
I want to see your medicals. Show me during the break. Matt Smith and Phil Lindsay. Zach is out today. When we come back, there was a member of the Avs who's returned, and he's basically unlocked the whole darn thing. We'll talk about him next.
It was 1989. My thoughts were short. My hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17.
Matt Smith in for Zach. Bye. Phil Lindsay in the house. After 4 o'clock. Phil and I are finally going to dive into some CU football, which he and I have been during the breaks. Some good arguments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some passionate discussions. I'm looking forward to bringing those to light. But I want to talk about the Avs, who last night, massive win over the Calgary Flames. 6-2. 6-2, scored 5 unanswered after going down 2-1 after the first period. And this is now 2 games that Valachushkin has played since returning from the player program and getting cleared to play and, you know, missed, I think it was over 50 days at this stage, and Val was excellent.
2 games and 2 goals?
2 games, 2 goals. I think he had 3 points last night. Yes. Val was really good last night. And he was playing up on that top line because Arturi Lehkonen was out sick, and Arturi's also going to be out sick tonight in the Avs with a back-to-back.
He must have a flu, man. He must be throwing up food poison, something.
I think the whole team's dealing with the flu bug right now. I think Colton had it and Jack Johnson had it. That's because, they definitely did, because on Saturday or Sunday, Bednar wanted to have a full 5-on-5 practice before the road trip with all the new guys. They just didn't have enough bodies to do it, so it ended up being more of a light workout scenario. But I want to talk about Val, because since he's come back from the program, and look, this was a guy that let everybody down in a huge way in the playoffs. Huge way.
And the beginning of this year.
Well,
after he went on his, you know.
After he went back into the program?
For sure, yeah. I mean, think about it. When Val was there, we were pretty dominant, and he had a great performance before he decided to leave for that, which, if you have to go handle your business, that's more important than playing in a game.
Okay. I'm with you. And look, eventually, we had heard behind the scenes some stuff that he's had to deal with in his career. This was not the first time that he's had issues, and they've known about it. They've known about it for sure, but since he came back to the lineup 2 games ago, it just looks like this team is more dangerous up front, and that's because they are. Nichushkin, when healthy, has been elite. I would call him... Is Drew back? Drew, you back there? Nichushkin, top 30 player in the world when healthy? Like, no question, unequivocally?
Yeah, I'd even maybe put him top 20.
Probably.
He's that good, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the guy, he's a Russian bear on the forecheck. I mean, he's big, he's strong, he can skate, he's got great hands. And the thing that goes underappreciated about Val Nichushkin is he plays in every situation. So he'll play, obviously, even strength, but the power play, man advantage, and he'll play on the penalty kill when you have the man disadvantage. And he's a beast on the penalty kill. To have that type of size out there to spearhead your PK, 6'4", 210.
I didn't know he was that big, man.
He's a beast.
That means I'm rushing.
He looks
there,
like me
Phil.
Out there.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Come on now. If we stacked two Phil Lindsays on top of each other and put skates on them, then maybe you'd be Valachushkin. The point is this. Thank you. You like that one? The point is this. He's got 4 points now in two games since returning, 6 shots on goal, playing about 20 minutes a night. We had a huge question about whether or not he'd be ready to go.
Yeah.
Could he pick right back up where he left off? Well, Phil, the answer is unequivocally yes. I thought he was a little rusty in the first game, but against Calgary, it's always easier, by the way, when you're playing with Nathan McKinnon and Mikko Rantanen.
A little rusty the first game. My man has a walk-off goal, all right, to win in overtime.
Yeah, he's still a little rusty, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. He,
looked like, he looked like you out there, a baby giraffe on skates. Just couldn't quite get his balance.
Oh, man. Hey, but he was able to score that goal. He was like, I'm going to get enough balance to score the game-winning goal.
Hey, he played great. And then last night, I thought he was excellent. He whipped the pass across the ice on the rush to Nathan McKinnon for the one-time goal, which was outstanding. Had a really nice goal of his own on the rush as well.
It's like riding a bike. You know, he has been off it for a little while, but he gets back on it, falls down a couple times, and now he gets, you know, gets it rolling.
It just kind of goes to show you that had he been there in Seattle and didn't go on the bender that he went on, I think they make it out of that series. I mean, they lost and drew. Yeah. I mean, I think it's unequivocal. No?
Yeah, no, I think so. Now, I wouldn't have put them past Dallas in the next round.
No, me neither.
Yeah, I think they beat Seattle. They're a better team. Seattle couldn't score.
Yeah.
And they still lost.
And they still lost.
And they still lost, which is why I think I've been, like, raising the alarm bells here this season going, okay, look, this is the same team that just lost in Seattle up until the deadline, and they did make those moves, and right now early returns are looking good. I love what Sean Walker, the defenseman, did. Oh, I got to bring this up. I just reminded myself. I'll finish that thought. Sean Walker, the defenseman, 8 shots on goal last night, 4 block shots. He's playing out of his mind right now. Sign me up. I did just read this. So Ryan Johansson got flipped to Philly, right? Apparently, when Johansson got to Philly, he told them that he had a hip injury that he hadn't disclosed.
So you think that's why they decided to like let him go, or they were going to let him go?
No, that's why he's playing like garbage this year, is because he's still hurt. It makes total sense.
Oh, brother.
I mean, seriously, I just laughed at it because, first of all, it's a weird situation. So Ryan Johansson goes to Philly.
Yeah.
His agent is the same agent as this young prospect that Philly had in their system, kid by the name of Cutter Gauthier. Well, apparently, Gauthier said he was going to play for the Flyers, then wasn't going to play for the Flyers and wouldn't sign a deal. So this was, I think it was like the 14th overall pick in the draft or something like that. They end up having to ship him earlier in the season to Anaheim. Well, that kid's agent is also Johansson's agent. And there's bad blood in the water between that guy and with John Tortorella, the coach there in Philadelphia. So, and apparently things aren't so rosy with Johansson himself and with Tortorella based upon past. Was it Columbus?
Was it Columbus?
Right, yeah. Based on, he was the coach in Columbus. So apparently, I think it might have been out of spite a little bit that they actually traded for him. So the second he got there, they were like, no, you're waived. Which makes total sense.
Him. And it's just a trade for him and say, you know what?
Yeah, see ya.
Just so I can look at you one more time before I cut you.
And then Johansson told them that he's got a hip injury, which makes total sense. How many times this year was I screaming, the guy can't skate for the love? Anyway, I'm glad he's not here anymore. And Valachushkin's back in the lineup, and the Avs played great. They've got a back-to-back Vancouver tonight, best team in the West, 8:30 puck drop.
Ooh-wee.
Is right. So right after the Nuggets, you might have to take a nap. Then you can wake back up for the Avs game. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye with Phil Lindsay. It's The Drive.